are live. Welcome to the NBA Strategy Show. It is Friday, January 14th. I'm Josh Engelman. I am joined by Adam Scher, and we are brought to you by Prize Picks, who we will touch on in a little bit. But first and foremost, hit that like button, subscribe to the channel, hit the notification bell so you know when everything goes live. We've got 9 games on the docket today, and unlike what we've seen over the past week or two, right now, not a lot of value to be found. Adam, are you excited for this Friday slate?
Yeah, I think it should be fun to talk about. I'm not sure I'm playing yet. I have plans tonight and haven't decided if I'm going to just not be around to late swap and risk losing all of my money, or that it probably doesn't matter and I'll lose all my money anyway. That's kind of been the trend. So, not sure if I'm playing it, but it does seem like it seems interesting in that it's very different than what we've had recently. Definitely different than what we had last night, where there were kind of a couple of guys that you just needed to play massive amounts of. The field was playing massive amounts of, and there was no real way around it. Seems very, very different tonight.
Live discussion of whether or not you're playing tonight right now. Maybe just a single bullet into the $3,180 Rainmaker special today.
It's actually not a bad idea.
Give you something to sweat, but yeah, like obviously you can fix any one individual lineup. Well, I hope so, depending on how much you drink. You never know.
The other problem is my apartment looks like a tornado hit it, and I need to take care of that before friends come over.
Got it. Got to highlight those TVs. Prop up all those bottles of cologne. The good stuff. All right, let's dive into this. We have 9 games on the slate today. Lots to talk about. We're going to move through it as quickly as we possibly can. So diving in first, the Orlando Magic, 10.5 point dogs in Charlotte, 224 total. And basically, we're going to bookend this show with interesting stuff. Orlando-Charlotte is an interesting game to me. Houston and Sacramento will be the last game we talk about. Very interesting as well. A lot of the stuff in the middle, a little bit less so. Interesting for the Orlando Magic because, Adam, we are getting Jalen Suggs back. He is available for this one. Mo Bamba, questionable. Wendell Carter Jr. is out. John Isaac is out. Fultz is out. MCW still out. And Etuan Moore still out. The Bamba news will be pretty interesting and have a big impact on Orlando. I have him in for right now. But how does Jalen Suggs coming back affect your thoughts on Orlando and the guy that we normally get to in Cole Anthony?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's at least somewhat of a negative for pretty much everybody. Like Cole Anthony can certainly still get his, but his rates do come down a little bit when he plays with Suggs. Without Suggs out there, you see the assist percentage go up a few points. Usage rate goes up a few points. So, you know, Suggs at the very least cuts into Anthony's median projection a little bit. Don't know how many minutes he'll play, but, and I think Anthony is still, you know, the number one guy in this offense, but it's definitely not a positive having Suggs out there chucking up shots.
So who do you like the most here for the Magic today? So obviously, great matchup against Charlotte.
Yeah, fantastic matchup. If Bamba plays and isn't going to be limited, I think he looks very good at 5,800. He should have plenty of success against the Charlotte front court, maybe a couple of extra minutes with Wendell Carter Jr. out. Franz Wagner at 5,900 still looks fine. I think Anthony looks fine. Pay attention to or keep an eye on like what news we get on Jalen Suggs. He hasn't played in a while, but if you told me that he was coming back and just playing 28 to 30 minutes, I would be very interested at 4,800 against Charlotte.
Yeah, sprained right thumb. So it's not a lower body injury. No reason that he can't be in good shape coming out of this. It's a very different situation. There's basically two paths here. It's one, he comes in, they just sort of bring him off the bench, let everything stay the same, you know, get his sea legs back under him, or he just starts and plays what you would call normal run for what you want Jalen Suggs to be. Let's say they expect him to start. What are we getting here? Anthony, Suggs, let's assume Bamba in. Anthony, Suggs, Wagner, Bamba. Is it Lopez? Is it Gary Harris? I think they can go either direction, really.
It could also be Okiki, but...
Sure.
My guess would be... My best guess, if he starts, would be Anthony, Suggs, Harris, Wagner, Bamba.
Okay. That works. That's my assumption in here right now. Yeah, I like your shout on Bamba. I tried to be like a little bit pessimistic with his minutes too. I only gave him 28. In theory, he could play more. Pops a lot as of right now. You know, our ownership is going to be lower on him since he's questionable, but I am more interested in Bamba than in anybody else. Anthony, I would say, would be two. Don't really have too much interest in anybody else. Like, I like the idea of going to Suggs in GPPs, especially if he starts. I thought Charlotte would look more interesting given some of the guys that are out, but I don't know. Franz Wagner's price is about where it should be. Gary Harris is Gary Harris. And all of a sudden you're just like out of functional Orlando players.
Yeah. Suggs being back certainly cuts into that, you know, second half of the rotation where like Terrence Ross was kind of appealing, cuts into him, makes Harris, I think, a little bit less appealing. If Bamba's out, I think you can go right back to Robin Lopez at 4,400.
Yeah, same.
Assuming he starts.
Absolutely. He would almost have to, right?
You would think.
All right. Anything else here for Orlando?
No.
Well, Charlotte, slightly different today in that they are just getting clean jammed in across the board. The only piece that we still have for Charlotte is that we have no Kelly Oubre once again. In their last game, we got them going to just an 8-man rotation. They're not replacing Kelly Oubre with anything. They're just playing more minutes. Bridges. Here are all the ownerships for Bridges, Rozier, Hayward, Ball, Martin, Washington, and Plumlee. 10, 15, 14, 17, 20, 18, 16. On FanDuel, it's even crazier because LaMelo's still 8K, so he's 37% owned. Gordon Hayward, 6,500. He's 26% owned. I guess we're just jamming in basically everything from Charlotte except for Jalen McDaniels.
Yeah, I mean, I think that makes sense to me. The rotation's very favorable for, you know, most of these guys. Cody Martin's played 28 and 25 minutes in the last couple of games. He's 4K. I think the ownership on him is kind of aggressive at 20%, but at the same time, like we'd said at the top, there's not a lot of really good value. I will say kind of from like an overarching standpoint, on slates like this, you're still going to get chalky plays because whoever projects as like the best of the not very good options is just going to pull a lot more ownership. And we've seen that especially this season where people have kind of figured out how to use optimizers more, but they haven't exactly figured out how to build good tournament lineups yet. So you're seeing kind of questionable chalk on slates like this, I think, still get pushed up. You should be treating, this is where it goes back to like the boom bust tool and thinking about chances of success versus ownership and not just looking at ownership or just looking at projection. You should be treating something like Cody Martin at 20% much differently than you treated like Dennis Smith Jr. at 70% yesterday. Even though the ownership is obviously very high, was obviously very higher on Smith, he was far and away a better play at 70% than Cody Martin is at 20%, I think. You know, still likely to give you like 26 minutes and just be, he's pretty replaceable, I think. Like you can find lower owned guys that have the same range of outcomes. PJ Washington at 4,700, pretty volatile option. You got 27 minutes a couple of games ago, 19 minutes last game. But at 4,700, there is still some upside there. As far as guys that you can really be confident in their playing time, Ball, Rozier, Hayward, Bridges, all should play a lot. They're all also getting a little bit less ownership since they're more expensive. But once again, you got 36 minutes from LaMelo, you got 36 from Hayward, Bridges got to 40. All of those guys look very good, I think. Rozier also played 40.
Yeah, I think PJ Washington looks a little bit more interesting here. We saw that last Charlotte game was against Philly. It was pretty natural to expect Mason Plumlee to play a couple extra minutes against Joel Embiid this time out. I don't think it's sort of the same problem against Orlando. If it's Bamba, it's definitely not the same problem. If it's Robin Lopez, I don't think it matters all that much, but at least he is a functional big body. So PJ Washington does strike me as a little interesting at 4,700. Is there anybody you don't like other than, I guess, Jalen McDaniels? And even still, like, if you told me that he fell into something at 3,500, it wouldn't be the wildest situation in the world.
Yeah, like you wouldn't be absolutely shocked if he played more minutes than Cody Martin for one reason or another, even though that's certainly not likely to happen. But
he could play
like,
more than PJ Washington, honestly, depending on how many fouls he's waking up to.
Yeah, I mean, outside of, you know, random Jaden McDaniels minutes games, excluding McDaniels, there's nothing here I don't like.
Okay, yeah, we're on the same page. Do you worry about rules for a team like Charlotte?
I wouldn't play Washington and Plumlee together.
Yeah.
I wouldn't play. Yeah, that's pretty much the only one that would matter.
Yeah, because I think Bridges, Rozier, Hayward, and Ball are pretty firm in this.
Yeah, I was trying to think, like, if Cody Martin closed, who's he closing over? It's probably Hayward or Rozier if it happened. I don't think it's happening very often. But I was going to say, so I guess, like, a max two of those guys, Martin, Hayward, Rozier.
All righty. Great game to start it off.
Oh, and one of Martin McDaniels, if you're even getting to McDaniels.
Yeah, that works. All righty. Anything else here?
No.
This one's a little bit easier to talk about. Toronto Raptors, 7.5-point favorites in Detroit, 215 total. We've got the Q tags once again on Gary Trent and Scotty Barnes. Assuming they are in, we know exactly what we're getting out of Toronto. We're getting Siakam, Van Vliet, Ananobi, Barnes, and Trent all playing 34 plus minutes or something in that neighborhood. These guys are underpriced on FanDuel, at least Ananobi, Barnes, and Trent. They are pulling, call it 15 to 20% ownership across the board on everybody, depending on where you really land. On DraftKings, they're a little bit more expensive. I still like those three guys more than I like Siakam and Van Vliet, who are 9,500 and 10K. Fred Van Vliet is 10K on DraftKings right now. Well-deserved over this stretch. I mean, 1.42 FanDuel points per minute over the last 30 days. Like, he deserves a 10K price tag right now. I don't know how long that lasts. What do you do with Toronto here in a matchup against Detroit, who's not very good?
Yeah, I mean, I'm still fine kind of just getting to any of these starters. The thing, and we've talked about it a lot with Van Vliet, he's obviously overpriced at 10K when you think in terms of medium projection, but he also can lead any slate in minutes. I mean, it's not crazy to think he plays 40 minutes tonight, potentially. He is not afraid to call his own number. So he's just someone where normally when you get to these like 9 to 10K guys, they're like always the number one option on their team. And they can only really shoot so much more. Van Vliet sort of like, you know, on average, he's still giving up usage to Siakam. You still have OG and Barnes that take some shots. Trent's like a 20% usage guy. On average, they kind of spread it out. But then you get individual games where Fred Van Vliet just decides he's shooting every time down the floor. So you just get a little bit more volatility in his game, I think, than you do in some of the other guys priced around him, which even when he's overpriced makes it so I don't really mind getting to him. He's kind of like a cheaper Steph Curry from a fantasy standpoint, I think. Steph Curry almost never looks like the best option at his price range at this point, but you can always make a case for him just because there's going to be games where Steph Curry just does unbelievable things that not many other people can do. It's kind of the same thing for Van Vliet at his price range, I think. So certainly not a priority, but don't hate it as a low-owned play in tournaments. Any of Trent, Barnes, and Anobi Siakam look fine if they're in as well. If Trent or Barnes sit, then you should get Birch and Achiuwa splitting 48 minutes again. They are both inexpensive at center, so either one would be reasonable, not together.
Siakam is just so difficult to get to if he's just center eligible. Like, 9,500 when you can't get out of that price tag and you are not some sort of like truly elite per minute guy. Like, obviously Siakam's good. He's like a, you know, 1.15 to 1.2 fantasy point per minute guy. That's still good. 9,500 and only center makes it really difficult. The fact that he doesn't also have power forward is just a farce for something like this. I get that he's like the center a lot, but he's not the center only.
Yeah. I mean, he also plays the three.
Yeah. It's for this particular team, the way that they move up and down the positional spectrum, like for Trent and Siakam to not have dual eligibility is dumb.
Yep.
Either way, play the starters.
Yeah. If Trent, especially if they're both out, but if even one of them is out, it's likely that you get enough minutes from Chris Boucher for him to be a reasonable tournament option.
Yeah. All righty. We are good there. I don't have anything else for Toronto. They're one of the easier teams to talk about.
Yep.
On the Detroit side, this team, man. Talking about the Pistons is really not fun. Jeremy Grant still out. Kelly Olynyk still out. Frank Jackson is out. Corey Joseph off the injury report. And Rodney Magruder is getting shipped back. That should be a really good thing for him. I don't know. So no Bol Bol today for the Pistons. That one's not going to happen. Did you see that they gave away Bol Bol's number to James Ennis on the 10-day?
Yeah, the first thing I could think of was what food or object is he going to throw when he gets back to the locker room?
Great. It'd be so great. All right. A lot of ownership coming in on FanDuel to Cade Cunningham, where for reasons that I don't know, somebody's asleep at FanDuel. He is 6K and 40% owned. So I don't have anything to add there. Cade Cunningham is probably the best play on FanDuel today. Nothing else I could really say. He's 7,600 on DraftKings and appropriately priced. Guy pulling up the most ownership is Isaiah Stewart, 12% on DK. Makes sense at 4,600. Do you have any priorities here for Detroit, at least from a DraftKings perspective, since FanDuel just prices them different?
No, on DraftKings, this team is ugly. I mean, $4,600, you can make a case for Stewart and just hope he gets those 28 to 30 minutes and is in the closing lineup over Trey Lyles. I do think it's important to point out that I know you and I talked about it a lot. We had seen several games in a row where Trey Lyles closed, but we had said that we thought it was still likely to be sort of a hot hand and volatile situation. You saw that last game. Lyles played 15 minutes. Stewart played 28. You could get Lyles going back to 26 tonight and Stewart back to 22. I think it's just going to change game to game, but it did confirm that part of the range of outcomes is still there for Isaiah Stewart. So if you want to get to some of him, fine. Cunningham is fine. But there's nothing that stands out here.
Yeah, it's pretty bleak. And obviously on FanDuel, you agree, Cade Cunningham, play as much as you want because he's 6K.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just silly. I don't have anything else to add.
Killian Hayes, I guess, just because value is so bad tonight. He's another one at 3,600 where on average he's playing like 24 minutes, but certainly could play 30 if he's playing well.
All righty. I got nothing else for Detroit.
What'd you say?
I got nothing else for Detroit.
Nope. I don't want to talk about guys like Killian Hayes anymore.
I agree. Schedule for the rest of the day. Coming up immediately after this at 11 a.m., we've got NFL On the Contrary. Coming back for this one, Chris Spags. Keep your eyes peeled for that. 12:30 p.m., we've got the NFL Strategy Show. We've also got Yahoo NFL at 1, another NFL Strategy Show Tournament Edition at 2, Prize Picks NFL Show at 4:30, on to the Deeper Dive at 5 p.m., leading into NBA Live Before Lock at 6. Free content for today, NBA player projections, NHL ownership projections, and MMA rankings, all free. UFC coming back this Saturday. We've got a big pay-per-view coming up next Saturday. Time to dive into more UFC action. On to the Phoenix Suns, 5.5-point favorites in Indiana. 221 total here for the Suns. And it looks like we're going to get like a relatively normal Phoenix team. Chris Paul is not on the COVID list at all. Cam Johnson is questionable. Otherwise, everybody is available, and that makes Phoenix look basically useless today. Okay, if you get to Booker and Paul and guys like that, but they all look pretty similar relative to their salaries.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wouldn't say useless just because of this slate in general, where this isn't a slate where you have, you know, three or four teams that are missing four players and you have to be a great value to be a good play. I think slates like this actually make Phoenix look a little bit better than they normally do, just because the opportunity cost, you know, isn't quite as high across the board. So guys like Paul, Booker, Ayton are probably appropriately priced, but most guys that you're playing tonight are appropriately priced. It's like tonight, the guys that you're going heaviest on are the ones that are appropriately priced because the options mostly are appropriately priced or overpriced. So it kind of makes them look a little bit better. But, you know, still not likely that you're just like jamming them in like at the same level of exposures that you would on other slates. On slates like this, you're just sort of going to get flatter exposures in general. But any of Paul, Booker, Ayton, I think look fine.
Paul pulling 10% ownership, Booker next highest at 2.6. We got Paul Bridges and Ayton around 10% on FanDuel, where these guys are a little bit cheaper, but they were all showing up in like 5% of my sims. I didn't get to too much from Phoenix here. I wouldn't mind if I did. Like, obviously it's a talented team, and Phoenix plays like Indiana's 24th in pace, so it's not really like the best matchup from that regard. It's just, you could always play guys that are just good at basketball, like Booker and Paul or Ayton.
Especially when Booker and Ayton are projected for 2% ownership.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just, they're never going to be the first guy you're putting in your lineup, at least not on a day like today.
Yeah, for sure.
I wish I could talk more about Phoenix, but I don't have anything else. We do have to talk about Indiana, and I think you and I are going to be on the same page here. So for the Pacers, we've got Chris Duarte off the injury report. No TJ Warren, no TJ McConnell. Torrey Craig is questionable. Malcolm Brogdon is questionable. Now, Malcolm Brogdon missed like 9 out of 10 games. The game that he did come back in the center of all that, he re-injured himself and left early. And then he did it again on Tuesday. Entered the game, played a bit into the third quarter, re-injured himself. Questionable or not, I am not projecting Malcolm Brogdon in for this game, given the way that he has been out previously. Do you have a stance on this?
He practiced yesterday.
I know. That's weird to me.
I wish they would shut him down. Like, they're not playing for anything. Stop screwing with the guy's Achilles and let him actually heal. But for now, I'm projecting him in since he did practice. I have absolutely no idea what to do with him.
Well, here's the deal. I have him out, and I have interest in Miles Turner one way or the other on DraftKings at 5,800. I still don't even really like all that much from Indiana, even if Malcolm Brogdon is out. Caris LeVert looks fine at 8,300 if Brogdon's not playing. Sabonis is already 10K and doesn't really appear to get any sort of boost when anybody is off the floor any longer. So I don't really care much about Indiana, whether he plays or not.
That's pretty much how I see it as well. Turner's going to look fine regardless. He looks a little bit better if Brogdon's out probably, but basically just a high upside tournament play one way or the other. Sabonis, kind of the same thing, but like you said, you've seen it this year where the playmaking is still primarily being done by a traditional guard, like ball handler type guy, even when Brogdon's out. It was Sykes when everybody is out. If Brogdon's out today, it's probably going to be LeVert instead of Sabonis for the most part. So you can still play 10-1 Sabonis, but you can play him with or without Brogdon. He's just kind of somebody that's going to play a lot of minutes and occasionally he's going to put up a monster game. But Brogdon being out with LeVert back, I don't anticipate having a huge impact on Sabonis. LeVert probably is the guy that I think Brogdon has the biggest impact on. He's going to take on more playmaking. He's going to get more usage. We've seen this year when he shares the floor with Sabonis without Brogdon, Sabonis isn't the one getting the bumps. It's LeVert just going out there and chucking shots. He played about 29 minutes in a blowout last game. His first half rotation was pretty solid. He played 8.5 minutes in the first, 7.5 to open the second. So that puts him at 16. And then like 2.5. So, I mean, he played like 18 minutes in the first half. If the game's competitive, you could certainly see 36 minutes tonight at 8,300. So don't mind him in tournaments, but, or I guess I should say, don't mind him in tournaments if Brogdon is out. If Brogdon's in, I have a hard time paying that salary. So not a whole lot that I like one way or the other. Turner looks fine. Sabonis, one way or the other, is okay. LeVert, I think, is the one that goes from like, I'm not playing this guy if Brogdon's in, to I'm actually pretty interested if he's out.
Okay.
And I don't think these Stevenson, Sykes, Washington guys matter anymore with LeVert back. And no, especially if Duarte's in too.
I agree. Cody Haney said, I can't see him playing with that injury. That's the stance that I'm taking. Paul Kang says trade him. One, it's going to be hard to trade Malcolm Brogdon if he's on an Achilles injury. Not a lot of people lining up for that. But two, he is unable to be traded. They couldn't trade him if they wanted to trade him. So, and I don't like... He signed his extension. That makes him untradeable for a year, which means that no matter what they want to do coming up to the trade deadline, Malcolm Brogdon will be on the Pacers. There is no way around it.
And yeah, I agree with the I can't see him playing with that injury take. I also didn't think he was going to practice yesterday. That's the part that's throwing me off. Same.
Yeah. No, I just want to know like what it means that he practiced.
Right. Did he like just catch some passes, chuck up some threes, go back to the locker room? Or because like when I see that somebody practiced, I take it to mean full practice, because normally they say they're limited if they're limited. But yeah, I don't know, because when he left that game early with the same injury, I was just like, OK, we're not going to see this guy for like at least two more weeks.
Right. Like he was out. He came back on the 21st, played 8 minutes, got yanked, missed 9 straight games, and then couldn't get through the 10th one again. Like how the hell could you possibly be on the floor again 2 days later?
Right.
Jeremy Savage says Lakers trying to get Reddish. I think they're a little late to the party on that one. How could you be so bad at this? Could you imagine?
Maybe he means SGA, because that's the kind of joke after last night.
What do you mean?
After that game, SGA started to head back toward the locker room and somebody stopped him and like pointed toward the stands and he ran over and like dapped up Rich Paul and they had like a nice conversation. So that's been the the Lakers won SGA.
No shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So does the other 28 teams in the league. Every single team would want him. He's incredible. To come in Lakers trying to get Reddish. That is just of everybody to say that. That's the one that I wanted. Boston.
They have the rule too that you can't be traded twice, right?
No, you can.
Oh, you can? I don't know what I was thinking. Yeah.
I mean, think of guys like Chris Webber, who were like got traded to the Hawks for a day and then
somewhere else. If you sign a free agent contract, you can't be traded for like X period of time. Is that what
there are time spans that you cannot be immediately moved, unless you're a 1-for-1 deal, at which point you're generally fine. Free agency contracts are what slows you down for stuff like that.
Yeah. I knew there was something where it was like
you gotta get to December 15th, usually.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, but no, they could ship him right back out. Boston and Philly. Boston 3.5-point dogs in Philadelphia. Marcus Smart is questionable. Everybody else is available. Assuming Marcus Smart is in, I don't really see all that much from a priority standpoint coming out of the Celtics. You know, I actually think like $5,200 Al Horford might be the most interesting piece. Do you like obviously get to Tatum whenever you want? Brown's probably a little too expensive. Do you like anything from Boston?
Not particularly if Smart is in. If Smart's out, then you know I think you can go back to Schroeder, but there's not a whole lot that I like. I mean, Al Horford has been really bad, one, recently, but two, even like the course of the season and the games where both Tatum and Robert Williams have been in, Horford's been bad. Now, you could, I guess, make the case that maybe Williams is more likely to get in foul trouble tonight, and that would be beneficial for Horford. So one way or the other, like $5,200 Horford, there is at least a path to him having success, but I have no confidence in him getting there. Like you said, Tatum at 9,300 certainly gives you a ceiling. Brown, I think, is too close in salary to Tatum for me to want to go there. Like, if I'm going to take a shot on one of them, I would rather just get to Tatum. But overall, assuming Smart's in, I don't see a whole lot from this team.
Yeah, it's just tough. Yeah, like, I don't want to get to Horford, but it's just sort of like, it's the price tag that makes it look like it could happen the most. And that's when it gets a little pretty murky.
Yeah, I want to pull up the numbers. I was actually really surprised when I saw it the other day. I didn't realize how bad it had been. For the season, in the games that Horford has played with Tatum and with Robert Williams active, things like 24, 25 games. So actually, no, he's been fine with those two. I'm doing this again where, like, I'm misremembering something. Maybe with Jaylen Brown too.
Read it out again. What are you trying to do?
Yeah, never mind. I take back what I said. Good. I was trying to get the games where Tatum and Robert Williams have been active because I thought that he had taken a really big hit in those games, but he actually hasn't.
Well, there you go.
So well, the point remains, Al Horford has been awful recently and is still a risky play, but 5,200, there's some upside.
There we go. On the Philly side, we have no Danny Green. We have no Shake Milton still. Clearly Ben Simmons not around. Philly kind of looks easy to look at and difficult. Let's talk about... Okay, go for it.
Fill it wasn't on full games. It was with Tatum and Williams on the floor. Horford's averaged 0.72 DraftKings points per minute.
Okay.
But that's not super useful because he gets the backup minutes typically.
Yeah. Highest owned guy in this game for Philly is 9.7% owned Tyrese Maxey. And to me, he's the best option for Philly. Clearly, Joel Embiid like seems fun, but 11.2 is a real price tag. Tobias Harris is fine. Seth Curry is probably too expensive. What do you want to do with my boy, Tyrese Maxey?
I think he looks okay at 5,600. Like, he should still play good minutes here. You have Milton out again. His rates obviously suffer when Embiid and Harris are in, but he played 38 minutes last game. I think it's likely you see 35, 36 minutes again here. All season long, when guys have been out, you've seen him play more minutes. So yeah. I do like that. I think it's a reasonable price tag.
Is he the best play on Philly?
I think so. I mean, easiest to get to probably. I think he's comparable to Embiid and Harris when you consider salaries, but I think it's just going to be easier to get to $5,600 Maxey.
He's shooting 45% from three when in games where Embiid and Harris play, unfortunately, just 29 attempts. Shoot more, man. Shoot more. That's just going in. I don't have anything to add on Embiid. Like, if you get there, great, but 11-2 is healthy.
Steven Leibowitz said Horford will be out there when Embiid is out there. If you think that's the case, you should be playing him, because if you think Horford's playing 34 minutes tonight, that would make him look really good.
I assume they want Robert Williams to guard Joel Embiid.
I mean, I think it's going to be a combination of the two, but I'm definitely not projecting Horford for an extra like 6 to 8 minutes because he's playing Joel Embiid.
No, I got him in for 28. I got nothing else for Philly. Keeping it moving. Here's one that we can't totally talk about yet, but we can hypothesize until we're blue in the face. The Golden State Warriors are 3.5-point underdogs in Chicago. No Draymond Green, no Gary Payton, obviously no James Wiseman, who also had a procedure in December, so he might be out for a little bit longer. And then we don't really know what's going on. These guys are on the back-to-back, assuming Klay doesn't play today. That just seems safe. Otto Porter and Andre Iguodala don't normally play back-to-backs, but if that's the case, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, they don't have a lot of active bodies. Curry, Wiggins, Looney, Poole, Kuminga, JTA, Lee, Bielitsa, Chris Chioza makes 9 if everybody is out. Are you assuming everybody's out?
What about Moody and Weatherspoon? Where'd they go?
Are they not with the G League right now?
I have no idea. We don't have an injury report yet.
I think they're with the G League.
I thought Moody played like two games ago.
Well, I mean, they are in Santa Cruz, so he can be everywhere always. I mean, Moody didn't play this last game. Weatherspoon didn't either. So
yeah, Moody played on the 11th.
Maybe they're with the G League. Maybe they're not. We'll know that once their injury report comes out. Like, that won't be ambiguous at all. But are you assuming no Iggy, no Otto Porter? Clay, to me, we just write off.
Yeah, Clay, I'm fully – I think they already said he wasn't going to play.
There we go.
I'm assuming no Iggy and no Porter. The only reason that I think maybe you do see them is Iggy didn't play at all in the second half yesterday. He played like 13 and a half minutes in the first half, didn't play at all in the second half. So maybe they're just like, yeah, okay, whatever, you can go again. And Porter only played 15 minutes. So
yeah,
I don't know. Like, I would still lean towards them resting because that's normally what they do. But if they were going to play the second half of a back-to-back, this seems like a pretty likely case.
Who's the best play on Golden State then? Because we've got Jordan Poole projected for 35% ownership right now.
I think it's Poole. I mean, you have no
Payton. It might be Wiggins.
What'd you say?
I think it might be Wiggins.
Poole's cheaper, and he's probably going to shoot more.
Maybe.
I mean, you have no Payton, and you have no Thompson. As a starter this season with Steph Curry active, Poole has averaged 0.96 DraftKings points per minute, 30 and a half minutes per game. Andrew Wiggins is at 0.95 and 31. So, I mean, realistically, I think you're probably getting like 32 from Poole, 34 from Wiggins with the same production and a huge salary discount on Poole.
So maybe I'm wrong here. I've seen a bump to Wiggins' usage rate with no Draymond, which is not something that would make a ton of sense to me. But I guess if the ball isn't in Draymond's hands, the times that it can get to Wiggins means that he gets it more.
Right.
I don't know what to make of that entirely, but
yeah,
I don't know. Like, clearly Poole looks good. I'm not trying to soften my stance there. I think he's one of the better options. I don't know how many minutes I want to give him. That's really the tricky part. I gave him 30, but I'm guessing that I'm a little light.
I think 30 to 32 is reasonable. Four games this year with Draymond out and Curry active, Wiggins has a 25.8% usage rate, so it's up, you know, a point and a half.
Yeah, okay. So,
0.89 DraftKings points per minute because he's still not very good.
Yeah. I like Wiggins. I like Poole. We kind of have to just know the starting lineup here, though. I mean, we can hypothesize all that we want. If it's Kuminga, Toscano-Anderson, Bielitsa, they can just sort of go any direction. We don't have enough information to figure out what the best value plays are for the Warriors, but the way that I would describe it is whoever the hell starts is the better option.
Yeah, agree with that. And then also, Kevon Looney, I think, just looks better at 4,600 than normal. I mean, he always looks better when Draymond's out, but I think that maybe people are going to be a little bit low on him here because two games ago, he didn't play his normal minutes. Yesterday, he got in foul trouble in the first minute of the game, and then the game was a blowout, so he only played 18 minutes. On average, you're still getting like 26 minutes from Looney in games that Draymond hasn't played. So,
yeah.
I think he still looks decent. And then if you do get somebody, like if you get a Kuminga or you get Toscano-Anderson in the starting lineup and Iguodala and Porter are out, I think it's important to keep that in mind because there's like naturally going to be the knee-jerk reaction. Like if Toscano-Anderson's back in the starting lineup, the immediate reaction is just going to be like, yeah, cool, he played 6 minutes last time he started. But you have to remember that if Iguodala and Porter are out and Thompson is out and Payton is out, like there's just a lot more minutes available.
Unbelievable. So weird. No, the Warriors do not have a chance to win the title without Draymond. That I completely agree with. I don't think we need to add Wiseman to that one, Mr. OG Crypto.
Remember how much Wiseman hurt Curry last year?
He hurt the entire team. But yeah, they have 0% chance to win the NBA title if Draymond Green isn't healthy. And that's not going to be much of an issue.
Trust Kerr rotation. You absolutely should not trust Kerr's rotation.
You can trust it for Curry, Wiggins, and Poole probably, yeah. And Kevon Looney to a lesser extent.
Yeah, the more people that they're missing, the more you can trust it because he runs out of options. But the thing that the tendency that we have seen this year is that like if he has 10 guys tonight, 10 guys are playing.
Oh, yeah.
Whoever is starting is most likely to get the most minutes, but it's still not a guarantee.
Hopefully Moody and Weatherspoon aren't there so that at the very least we can actually just project 9 guys. Let's go to Chicago now.
I think you could tell me Golden State has 9 guys and I'd still be scared to only project nine, because I would assume that like they're signing somebody from the front row.
Yeah. Everybody's available for Chicago except for Alex Caruso, who's out for COVID. And then Derek Jones Jr. picked up an injury, going to be out for a bit. Nobody in double digits on DraftKings in ownership for Chicago. I actually have a little bit more interest in Chicago than our ownership is showing, because Golden State is not nearly the same defense without Draymond Green out there. DeRozan and LaVine are both pulling a bunch of ownership on FanDuel. DeRozan 18% owned. LaVine is 20 because he's 7,200. That's a thing that exists today. I like getting to a bit of Chicago here. This is a, like, to me, a pretty good matchup against Golden State.
Why is Alphonso McKinney getting no ownership? Are we just assuming that, like, well, no, because Kobe White and Troy Brown aren't either. Somebody's got to be getting ownership out of that group.
No one's getting any ownership here.
I mean,
I gave it to Kobe White. I don't know how like much I actually like that, but
I think either a 3K Alphonso McKinney or a $3,200 Troy Brown are starting.
Yeah, the question is, does it matter?
Potentially.
I mean, how many minutes are you going to give McKinney for in the most optimal scenario here? 20? I mean, Derek Jones got hurt immediately.
Right. I mean, I think 20 to 24, like that's pretty much what Derek Jones was playing. When he wasn't in foul trouble, you were getting like 24 minutes from Jones, 24 from the Sunmu. I think you could expect a similar thing. Like Troy Brown's already been in the rotation. If they just throw McKinney in for Jones, maybe you get like 20 minutes for McKinney and Brown plays a little bit more. He only played 16 minutes last game. I guess DeSumo could just play a little bit more, but I mean, like if McKinney starts, there's at least a path to 24 minutes for him, which still isn't that exciting, but there's not much value on this slate.
I gave him 17 minutes. I didn't really know where to actually land. It wasn't something that I dug into really hard, but I'm with you. Like there's no other.
I prefer it be Troy Brown.
Yeah, sure. Because you're a Wizards homer.
Yeah, that too.
Okay. What else do you like for Chicago?
All the main guys, to some extent. You know, like you said, they're not getting much ownership. Lonzo leads the way on DraftKings at 9.5%. He's 6,600. He's likely to give you 34 minutes or so. DeRozan's averaging 35 minutes. Levine's at about 35 minutes. Vooch is at like 34 in the games where they've all been active. It just makes them all look like pretty good tournament options. None of them are really overpriced. None of them are underpriced. It kind of just reminds me of Phoenix.
Yeah, same. I got nothing else here for Chicago.
So who do you – I really want to figure out the rotation. The rotation was so weird last game that I can't even, like, take a whole lot away from it with the Derrick Jones injury, because that game ended up being a blowout also.
I just think they're going to mix and match. And, like, it's the hot hand of White, Dosunmu, Brown, and McKinney.
Yeah, I think that's likely.
Like, obviously, we bump up whoever – like, if Brown or McKinney start, we're giving them 22 or something. We're giving them the – this guy could at the very least play starter run without closing and vice versa.
Yeah. So, I mean, in the first half, McKinney played about 11 minutes. Kobe White closed in his place. I think I think something like that is reasonable. Like if McKinney starts, Troy Brown basically just stays in his, you know, 18-minute role, 18 to 20 minutes. And then you get the Derek Jones / Dosunmu playing like 20 to 24 piece with Kobe White probably closing.
Okay. Yeah, we're on the same page there. I gave Kobe White 29 minutes. He looks interesting, but he's also bad when everybody else is available. So, all right. Let's talk a little bit about Prize Picks, the presenting sponsor of this show. You can use the promo code AWESOMO, get $100 first match deposit bonus. But what you should do is check the link at the banner at the top of the screen, awesomo.com/prizepicks-promo. You don't have to worry about sharks or optimizers or mass entries. Get a 5-player lineup that nets up to 10x your entry fee. You can make this lineup out of multiple sports if you would like. We have a free player props tool on awesomo.com that could help you make all of these picks. You download the app in the App Store, Google Play, or go to prizepicks.com. Free month of Awesomo Plus Platinum, too, if you follow that link. I'm going to hit Adam with a couple of my favorite props. Let's go with, where's the first one that looks like pretty tasty to me? Andrew Wiggins, 29 fantasy points today.
29 fantasy points. I'll take the over.
Yeah, as will I. I think that one, I have it pretty clearly above that mark. Jordan Poole, 27.
Over.
I agree. Let's hit one more before we finish this one off. who looks most interesting? Sadiq Bey. I know that's a weird one. 29 fantasy points.
Under?
Hmm. Okay. Okay.
I think it's close, but I would go under.
I'll take the over on Sadiq Bey as well, because this is overs all across the board for this bad
I need
boy.
To stay on brand. Two overs, one under.
There you go. So go check out Prize Picks, everybody. You can see the banner at the top of the screen. We have four more games to go, 19 minutes to do so. This should be interesting. Atlanta Hawks taking on the Miami Heat again. 4.5-point dogs, 220 total. Atlanta, obviously not with Cam Reddish, because he's definitely not going to the Lakers if you're Jeremy Savage. He is a Knick now. So we don't have to worry about his minutes any longer. Clint Capella still out. Kevin Huerter questionable. Jalen Johnson doubtful. We've got Onyeka Okongwu still massive chalk on FanDuel, 30% owned, where he's still 3,900. And then we're casting kind of a wide net. John Collins, Bogdan Bogdanovich, Okongwu, DeAndre Hunter, Gallo, all 10-ish percent owned. Trae Young not pulling all that much at 10-4. I think John Collins is pretty clearly the best option from Atlanta. Where are you trying to go?
Yeah, I like Collins here because last game you still didn't have Gorgui Dieng in the rotation. John Collins got the backup center minutes. That's really, really good for him. And especially he got like 24 center minutes, basically. Like he basically was the center. He played you know, like 6 or 7 minutes alongside Okongwu. So if Okongwu only plays 24, 26 minutes, that is great for John Collins. If Okongwu comes back out and plays like 32 minutes, it's still fine for John Collins. It would still mean he's playing like 16 minutes at center. So I do really like Collins. Power forward eligible makes it nice as well. Okongwu is still a decent value. I don't think that there's any guarantee he only plays 24 minutes again, but he did lose his power forward eligibility on DraftKings, so it is just more difficult to get to him. A big reason why he was so popular and such a good play the other night was that you could just throw him at power forward and it didn't matter. Much less margin for error at center. Gallinari is interesting because, again, if they run a similar rotation to what they did last game, that's good for Gallo. He played 26 minutes. If they give more minutes to Okongwu, you're probably taking those minutes more or less directly from Gallo. So probably wouldn't want to play those two together. Like, I think I'd be more willing to play Collins and Okongwu together than I would Gallo and Okongwu. Hunter is still 3,400. He played, I believe, 24 minutes off the bench last game.
Yeah.
He's not a great fantasy producer, but not much value on the slate, close to minimum salary, potentially playing like 26, 27 minutes. I don't mind getting there either. And then obviously if you get to Trae Young, that's good.
We'll switch it over to the Miami side of this one. Heat, again, 4.5-point favorites. Jimmy Butler is questionable. That will complicate matters here for the Miami Heat at least a little bit. Still no Bam, Oladipo, Markieff Morris, Casey Akpala, Marcus Garrett. So for Miami, only Kyle Lowry on FanDuel at 7,200 makes it to double digits in ownership. There's no ownership coming in on DraftKings at all. And if Jimmy Butler is in, I'm probably not getting to all that much Miami, although I still have a little bit of interest in an unowned Tyler Hero, although 7,800 is a healthy price tag.
Yeah, if Butler is out, I'm with you. We saw it last game. Like, Tyler Hero is not going to be a consistent, you know, 40, 50 fantasy point guy, but the opportunities are there. He has like a 30% usage rate without Butler and Bam. He's going to give you 34 minutes or so in most games. He's still got a massive ceiling. It's just that the inconsistency keeps his price down, keeps his ownership down, but ceiling certainly still there. Lowry looks okay as well if Butler is out. As far as like the wings go, if Butler's out, I don't mind Caleb Martin at 4,600. He played 32 minutes again last game. One really positive thing, I think, for Martin, and this could change on a game-by-game basis, but Max Strus only played 15 minutes last game. Duncan Robinson essentially backed him up, played 32 minutes. Sooner or later, you're probably getting Robinson back in the starting lineup, I would think. I wasn't really sure who he would be replacing between Martin and Strus. After last game, Strus is my guess. So I thought that the way the playing time played out there, it just seemed very, very good for Caleb Martin and very not good for Max Strus. So if Butler is out, I don't mind getting to $4,600 Martin again either.
All righty. Anything else for Miami?
I don't think so. One other thing to mention, because I think I saw it. Somebody said something about Collins versus Jared Allen. Yeah, I'd rather play Jared Allen than Collins around the same price on DraftKings. That's fine. But the most appealing thing about Collins is that you don't have to play him at center. Like, the fact that Allen is a center makes his, when you factor in opportunity cost, it makes him more expensive.
Cleveland Cavaliers are 3-point favorites in San Antonio, 224 total. For Cleveland, we have the Q tag on now Isaac Okoro, another Q tag on Rondo. I have put both of those guys in for this particular moment. And then for Cleveland, it's mostly just the top three. Evan Mobley's 15 to 20% owned, depending on the site. I think that's reasonable. Darius Garland is 10 to 15% owned across both sites. I think that's reasonable. Jared Allen, 8K with the power forward eligibility on FanDuel is 15% owned. 7,700 on DraftKings without it is about 10% owned. Those are the guys that I'm looking at if Isaac Okoro happens to be in. If he's out, I think he can make a case for $4,400 Chetty, shooting guard, small forward eligible, but there's not too much else there for Cleveland.
Yeah, I really like Garland at 7,800. That's just a cheap price tag here. San Antonio plays fast. Garland is very good. You see an increased usage rate without Rubio and Sexton as well. So I think he looks really good. I think Jared Allen looks very good. You know, just saw the comment about him in chat, but the opportunity cost at center is always a thing, but 7,700 is a nice falling price tag for Jared Allen. He's likely to give you 32, 33 minutes here. I think he looks very good. I would say Garland and Allen are my top two guys here. Mobley looks fine. Chetty looks fine if Okoro is out. Even better if both Okoro and Rondo are out.
Yeah. Wish I had more to talk about here, but look, Cleveland's pretty cut and dry at this point. San Antonio is pretty cut and dry as well, given the fact that everybody is basically back. We have a Q tag on Derek White coming still back out of the COVID protocols. Keldon Johnson's already back. Doug McDermott is back. Trey Jones still out. Drew Eubanks is available. So we've got heavy ownership coming into Jakob Poeltl, 6,100 on FanDuel, 23% owned, 6,300 on DraftKings, 18% owned. Seems a little high to me just because, but like I clearly like him. He's just sort of priced where he should be to me. Nobody else is pulling any real ownership. DeJounte gets to 12% on FanDuel. Everybody's under it on DK. Are you getting to any Spurs now that they're mostly healthy?
Definitely not as appealing as they have been. And then it's also not a great matchup here against Cleveland. I do think Poeltl looks fine at 6,300. I would think they want him to play a lot of minutes here. Probably on average, I would say 31, 32, but it's not like it would be surprising if he got a couple of extra minutes against Cleveland's massive front court. He's a good fantasy producer. I get why the ownership is there. DeJounte Murray's kind of interesting because the salary's gone up a little bit. Now you have a less appealing matchup. I'm assuming for now that you have Derek White back, but so it makes Murray rather look worse at a rising price tag. But at the same time, he's played 32 games with Derek White active this season. He's still averaged 1.39 DraftKings points per minute in 34 minutes per game. So the ceiling is certainly still there. He's just less appealing, you know, than he has been recently. If White is out, then just go right back to him. He's a 1.5 fantasy point per minute guy without White on the floor. So I still like Murray, but definitely not the same level of play as he was against Houston last game.
Is there anything else here? Can you get to... Do you have interest in Keldon Johnson? I think like Vassell and Walker aren't interesting anymore. McBuckets for 3,800, even though he's terrible. I don't know, 26 minutes.
Yeah, I think I'm good on most of that.
Yep, I agree. Then we go to Dallas. Mavs, 3-point dogs in Memphis, 217 total. Memphis on a heater right now, which is fun to see. Kristaps Porzingis really out. Team. I mean, I'm really anxious to see if they do anything. They've been a rumored Jaylen Brown destination as of late, and that would be very interesting. Porzingis and Willie Cauley-Stein both out. Luka, about 10 to 15% owned. That seems reasonable. Jalen Brunson, heavy chalk on FanDuel, where he's still just 6K. 7,500 on DraftKings makes it more tough. Dorian Finney-Smith is leading in ownership. 16% on FanDuel, 20 on DraftKings. He feels like the kind of guy that you can just play a different $4,600 guy and cross your fingers. Maxey and Tim Hardaway are both about 15% owned on DK. Maxey's been playing big minutes, not a great performer on a per minute basis. How do you see Dallas today? Because this one's a weird one.
They strike me as one of the teams that's going to get a lot of ownership because they project pretty well point per dollar wise, but a lot of these guys just aren't that exciting. Like they're not guys that you think if you don't play them, you're going to have a hard time winning a tournament. And realistically, you probably got pretty unlucky if they put up scores that you have to have. But just from a value point per dollar standpoint, Maxey is playing a lot. He's not a great fantasy producer, around 0.75, 0.8 fantasy points per minute. But 4,800, certainly reasonable there. Same goes for Finney-Smith. He's likely to give you 34, 35 minutes at 4,600. Hardaway at 5K, likely to play 28 minutes or so. I think all of those guys are reasonable plays. But like you said, you can find comparable options that are getting less ownership most likely. So they're all just sort of there. You're never wrong getting to Luka at 10-9 either. He's getting 12% ownership. Just seems like a decent play.
I feel like Luka just doesn't exist, and yet he's still averaging 1.4 fantasy points per minute over the last 30 days. Like, it's just,
it kind of speaks to how good Luka is that he's just like an afterthought, and like he's been an afterthought this season, and he's still been good. And also though, it has to do with like we talked about it a lot yesterday with Steph Curry. Part of the reason that Luka just feels like an afterthought all season is because Giannis is Giannis, but then Jokic has been playing the whole season without Murray, so it makes him like just head and shoulders better. And then you keep getting games where like Durant or Harden are out. LeBron's been playing without Davis. So whereas like you get these stars that see a big bump when someone else is out, Luka with or without Porzingis is like the same guy. So he kind of just ends up not looking as good as those other guys.
11th in the league in fantasy points per minute over the past 30 days. One of the guys ahead of him is Andre Drummond, which doesn't really count. The other is Ricky Rubio, who will be falling off of that list pretty promptly. On the opposite side for Memphis, we do have some sort of information like that's up in the air. Still no Dylan Brooks, but Steven Adams being questionable is relevant coming back from the COVID protocols. I put Adams in. The highest owned guy on Memphis on FanDuel is 4.8% owned Ja. He's 10% on DraftKings at 9,200. Desmond Bane is 4.7. No one else is above one. I like Bane at 6,800, shooting guard, small forward, a lot more than 4.7%, whether Adams is in or not. That to me just looks like a nice GPP play. Otherwise, I sort of feel like the public does, and that Memphis is not all that interesting.
I think I like Morant a lot more than the public. Have some money to make back from him last night as well. But yeah. Same price as last night, 9,200. He's got a 33 to 34% usage rate without Dylan Brooks this year, 34% assist percentage, averaging 34 minutes per game. Obviously, he struggled last night, but even that, he was actually close to a pretty big game. He played 32 minutes, lost a couple of minutes at the end of the first half. Still was like one assist and two rebounds shy of a triple-double. Shot 0 for 7 from 3, which typically is just bad luck. Like people on Twitter were, what did you say?
Not for him.
What do you mean?
I don't think he shoots well from 3, but I'm just...
Well, but I mean, 0 for 7 is bad.
I don't mean it that way.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I just like, I don't think there's really anything to take from last night's game. Like, he's still getting a lot of opportunities. He's still a very high upside guy at 9,200. So I still really like Morant here, especially if the ownership's low.
Yeah, same here. And I didn't realize he was shooting 36% from 3 this year. That's significantly better than the 30% we saw last year. He's just good. There was no problem getting to him.
But when I was complaining about Morant on Twitter last night, there was a lot of like, oh, Pat Beverly this, Pat Beverly that. Like, yeah, maybe. But also the guy just shot 0 for 7 from 3. I mean, yeah. I don't think that was Pat Beverly.
No, not at all. The only thing that slows him down in this one is Dallas. They are 29th in pace, and that is very, very relevant for a Memphis team that plays significantly faster. So keep that in mind for this particular game. Let's close it out then. Houston Rockets, 5-point dogs in Sacramento, 238.5 total. This is like 14 points higher than any other game. And what's really crazy is that Houston is healthy. Everybody that could play for Houston is available in this game. We've got Christian Wood, 30% owned on FanDuel, 20 on DraftKings. Jalen Green at 4,800 on DK, 14% owned. KPJ is 15 to 20. Eric Gordon's 10 on DraftKings. Jayshon Tate's almost 15 on DraftKings. Unfortunately, there's a lot to like here against Sacramento, and it's going to be play Houston in the late night hammer, huh?
Yeah, really appealing game. I think Christian Wood is once again the priority. $7,400 center should give you, 32, 33 minutes. But then the rest of the pieces, like I think Jalen Green, Jayshon Tate, Porter, Gordon, to some extent even Kenyon Martin Jr., like compared to each other, they all look pretty similar. I don't think that one necessarily stands out above the rest, but they all just look like good plays. There should be so many possessions in this game. They're not that expensive. You can expect, 28 to 30 minutes from Tate, 30 to 32 from guys like Green and Porter and Gordon, probably low to mid 20s from Kenyon Martin Jr. So just a really, really appealing game on a slate where it's a lot of slow slash good defensive teams playing against each other for the most part.
Yeah, we're on the same page here. If you had to pick one guy from Houston, is it Wood? He doesn't have the power forward eligibility any longer.
Yeah,
which
it's still Wood though.
I feel disgusting when I say this out loud, but it might be Jalen Green for me at 4,800, which is he's so bad right now.
At least you're kicking your Kevin Porter problem.
Well, he's not exactly like far away from it. He is the guy that I have the most of right now on DraftKings.
Yeah. I mean, I think the ownership on DraftKings pretty much tells the story. Like, it's how I view it as well. Christian Woods at 22%. Then you take a step back and you have Porter at 16, Tate at 14, Green at 14, Gordon at 12. So it's basically like Woods stands out as the top guy from Houston. Then there's a step back, but then the other four guys are still some of the more popular plays on the slate, and I think they should be. The one Kenyon Martin Jr. only projected for 1% ownership right now at 3,900. He's not someone you should be super confident in, but he can play multiple positions. So it just takes foul trouble or bad play for like anybody ahead of him, basically. And he can get those minutes to be really good here.
Yeah, for sure. I gave him 22, but if he falls into 24 to 26, like that's important from a value perspective today.
Yeah, exactly. And on a slate like this, where like he's the kind of guy that I love taking shots on a slate like this, because it's not like last night where you're saying, oh, well, I need to get lucky with foul trouble on Houston, and then Kenyon Martin Jr. can maybe only lose to Daron Sharp by like 10 points from a medium projection standpoint. Tonight, it's just kind of like, okay, he projects a couple of points lower than the guys that everyone else is going to play, but he can just he can still do well in 22 minutes. And if there's foul trouble, he can just smash like every popular value option.
Closing it out with Sacramento, tons of ownership here because that's what happens when you play Houston. Rashawn Holmes, questionable. Tristan Thompson, questionable. Bagley off the injury report. Halliburton, 20% owned. Fox, 15% owned. Barnes, 25% owned. Buddy Hield's around 10. Marvin Bagley's 5 to 10. A lot of ownership coming into this game. What do you like most from Sacramento?
This team is the main reason I'm thinking I'm going to end up not playing tonight, because I won't be around the late swap, because that center position is really important on this slate. If Rashawn Holmes is back and relatively not limited, as in like can play 26 or 28 minutes, he looks good. I guess starting elsewhere where we know who's playing, Halliburton, Fox, Barnes, Hield all look fine. Fox, I think, is number one for me. Halliburton's number two, Barnes number three. Hield certainly has a high ceiling here. He's likely to give you 28 to 30 minutes. At the center position, though, if Holmes is in, it makes Bagley, Metu, Len not interesting. I would expect that you're getting back to Bagley playing like 22 minutes, Metu playing like 20 minutes behind them, something like that. Neither guy would look that good. But if Holmes is out, I don't know what Sacramento's going to do, because for most of the season, they've played a traditional center. Against the Lakers last game, they started Metu at center and went with Alex Len off the bench. What that did was it allowed Marvin Bagley to play 30 minutes. It got you more minutes for Metu as well. If they were to do something like that here, then they both look like good values again that I would really want to get to. If Len comes back into the starting lineup, then Bagley's minutes are hurt, I think, but it would make Len at 3,800 certainly look like a decent value option. So Holmes' status and then also who the Kings are going to start in their front court makes a huge difference here.
Game that you're going to have to pay attention to. Make sure you're watching the Deeper Dive and Live Before Lock later today. Marcus Smart out for the Celtics now. So I got to update everything that I do before I record these contenders videos the moment we end this show. So Adam, GPP videos, injury videos, Deeper Dive later tonight.
Yeah. And just to clarify something, because someone in chat just said Bagley should see 30 again if Holmes is still out. Not the case necessarily. If Alex Len starts, Bagley probably plays like 24 minutes. You need for Bagley to get the 30, you need Metu to be playing alongside him.
There it is. Thank you guys for joining us. NFL on the contrary coming up next. Hit that like button on your way out the door. Subscribe to the channel, hit the notification bell, all that good stuff. Adam and I are done for the week. When it comes to strategy shows, we will be back Monday morning. Peace.